Father, we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you. We just thank you. We just thank you, Father. As we begin this morning service, we take authority in the name of Jesus. We enforce the power of our King and His kingdom on earth. You said, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is heaven. Let there be confusion in the ranks of the enemy, Lord. Everyone. Every demonic entity, every demon-empowered human being, anything that rises against thy name, thy kingdom, and thy will, let there be confusion, Lord. Let them fall to the ground. Let the purpose of God stand. Let God's name be lifted up and be glorified, and his purpose be fulfilled even today in the lives of all your people everywhere. All those who are sick, I speak healing. All those who are restless, I speak rest. And I pray, Father, we will learn to be still and see the deliverance of the Lord, Amen. That you are God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Yep. We are back with Revelation, our Revelation series. The thing, we'll look at verse 9 and 10. 7, 9. After these things I looked and behold a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. We need to see these pictures in the Bible, authentic pictures, because if you go almost anywhere in the world, because in the surrounding culture, this church is very small and unimpressive. Even the largest church here, compared to the hordes of unbelievers around, is nothing, just like a drop. Okay, so we need to understand that's the actual state, always been. Therefore, it takes enormous commitment to believe and to be part of the local church. To believe that this is a part of the overcomers in eternity who will reign with Christ forever. I do believe everyone will reign at one level or not. If you don't get a kingdom, you'll at least get your house. You can reign there in righteousness. Because the kings have only princes and princesses. They all reign. Okay, so your locality, the authority sphere will be very, very, very restricted. But that is, and you will reign through grace in righteousness. Okay, and there will be peace and joy if you don't have anybody else, at least in your life. If you're allowed to rear chickens and all that, they will also be happy because you have to eat vegetables there. We do not know what eternity is like. No, you have to think eternity, otherwise you'll get discouraged. Eternity is going to be fun. I can think about all the joys and all the pleasures of earth put together into infinity and forever. That's what he says. He uses those two things people run after, joy and pleasures, forevermore. In a body that never gets tired. Okay. That's going to be awesome. That's how you get over what's happening in the temporal. That's why we need this unveiling, a pulling back of the veil. That is actually what Revelation means, a pulling back of the veil, a glimpse of eternity. The glory of Jesus, the glory of the throne room of God, the worship in heaven, and the future unfolding even while we are in our present. We see the actual future unfolding. The wrath of God finally going to be unleashed, and we realize there is only one and one refuge from the wrath of God, and it is a person, Jesus Christ. So the cry is flee and hide in him because he is the rock of ages. Or we will end up in the category described in Revelation 6, 16 and 17. If you don't hide in the rock of ages, then you will be crying out for the rocks to fall on you. Set the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For great day of his wrath has come. Who is able to stand? And we saw the picture of those who stand. If we have to remain faithful to the Great Commission and witness and risk our lives, we have to see this vision in heaven, Revelation 7, 9 and 10. We have to see that multitude, verse 9. Multitude. These things I looked and behold, a great multitude which no one could number. All nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hands. We looked at that white robes, okay. Even though they are all dressed in white robes, yet their racial, cultural differences are evident. Okay, if you look at verse 9, you will see from every tribe, every nation, peoples, tongues standing before the throne. Because why is it so? Is because we do not get the principle, like the great thing in the Trinity in heaven, and in the church, in church should be, is unity. Unity is possible only in diversity. If everybody is the same, the concept of unity doesn't work. So the Trinity is not the same. They are one in unity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are not. Actually, they are functionally also, they are not the same. What you have is unity. Okay, so diversity is something God encourages. That's why you don't get two thumbprints the same, two iris scan the same. It's all different. So you will always see there that diversity will continue there. How it, in what form it will continue, we do not know, but it continues. And nobody will look down on each other. Everybody will glory in their own diversity. Okay, so please, but no transgenders there, okay? There will be, okay, no gender identity also will not be there because we'll be spirit being. So you will see no two individuals are the same, and we see all that in heaven. It will be an awesome time. Then if you come to verse 10, we see them all singing. Crying out with a loud voice saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So one thing we need to understand is that missions, all these things are temporary. What is ultimate is worship. One day all these things will cease, but one thing that never ceases will be worship. So in John chapter 4, 23-24, this is what Jesus will tell the Samaritan woman. The hour is coming, and now is, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And we see over and over again, those pictures, we'll come back to that later. In verse 11 and 12 of Revelation 7, 11 and 12, you will see, and all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God. And they will also sing, amen, saying, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. So we will see even the angels, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, all of them together. What a crescendo it will be. We'll join this celebration. And the reason is this. If you go to Luke 15, verse 7, and then verse 10, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. So Jesus is actually telling a fact that when one sinner repents, there is so much celebration in heaven. So we can just imagine when the full number comes in, what it will be, the full tally. This is the final tally. Everybody has come in. All that, heaven has been waiting. Even the angels are waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. The whole of creation is waiting. The whole number has come in. Every sinner has repented. That was in the Lamb's Book of Life. Literally, the angels will go berserk in joy. Because they are sharing in the joy of God. Remember, angels also in a different form are the sons of God. Okay, because they are called the sons of God in Job, and we are called the sons and daughters of God in a different way, but we are also God's children. So then if you come to verse 13 and 14 from there, Revelation 7, verse 13 and 14. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Okay. Talking to two things. One, it is talking about first, of course, the positional holiness of righteousness that we receive in Christ. We call it theologically justification, and the process of being perfect. When we are stunned by the glorious whiteness of their robes, but don't forget, it was washed in blood. Washed in blood. And by the water of God's word. So we will see that in 1 John 3:3. Of course, we know 1 John 1:9 and 1 John 7. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. How does he purify? 1 John 1:9 first and then go to 7. I like that order better. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How does he do that? The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And that is the final picture, okay, final picture, you know, like Hyderabad, it's a very difficult picture because the hard water, your whites become slowly, discoloration takes place, okay. But old days when I used to go down to home, I used to carry all my whites with me just to get it sparkling, wash it 2-3 times in that well water. And you know that glistening whiteness you get. But here, there's no comparison. But please never ever forget where that whiteness comes from. It comes from the blood of the Lamb. That's why he's celebrated over there. He's worshipped. He's praised. And in verse 15, we see their rewards. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore, and the sun shall not strike them nor any heat. This is the rewards, one, day and night. It's a human, this is just for our human consumption. Basically, it means forever. And remember, if you read Revelation 21, there is no night there. It's all day. And the God himself is the light. Basically says they will be serving God forever. I mean, we look at all that and we think about serving God forever and ever. Is, you know, the fact of the matter is, why is this serving so much put over there? And if somebody gets this thing in our thought, what is it? Will I get no rest? The fact is that we are always serving. We are always serving. It's either somebody or self. And in the serving of self, or in the serving of self, there is no satisfaction. There is more satisfaction, because that's how God ordered the laws in his kingdom, is in serving others. Okay? But even after that, sometime we'll get tired. But in the serving of God is where we get absolute satisfaction. That's why it is put, because we can never stop serving. Even when I go to sleep, I'm going to sleep because I'm serving myself. Okay, so this serving doesn't stop. We all have to serve. I mean, the person who serves himself alone is what we call selfish. Okay, The one who serves others, we tell them, they say he's very gracious. He serves others. But the limit of satisfaction, everything is limited in that. That is where it comes. They will serve God for an ever and ever, it is talking about. We will be absolutely for once in our lives, we will be satisfied forever because it is God who we are serving. That is where it is. This thing is there because nobody likes this word servant, serve, okay, because our democratic consciousness pricks us that the government serves us. It's a myth. Government serves themselves and they fool us that they are serving us. But for once we will see that serving God and God serves his creation. Okay, that's how it works. God's, his spirit will be in all of us. So he will serve us and we will serve him. If you come to verse 16, the Bible says it talks about sovereign protection. Okay, he who sits on the throne will dwell among them is verse 15. One rendering actually says, he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Okay, tent over them. This is from the book of Ruth, actually the picture in Ruth 3:9 and Ruth 2:12. Who are you? So she answered, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. Okay, she's saying, no, would you? Okay. And in 2:12, when he meets her and asks who she is, this is his first response. The Lord repay your work and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. In Psalm 36, verse 7 and 8, we have a picture of heaven. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. That is an allusion, you see, in human, the psalmists and all of them through the Spirit of God gave us these pictures, but we are seeing there that picture. He who dwells on the throne will dwell among them. He will cover them. So there is protection. There is protection. There is provision. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Okay. And now when you come to the next verse, never again will they hunger. Never again they will hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. Basically, it is talking about, you know, especially during the tribulation, even now, there are many places like that, tribulation period. People will go through that hunger and thirst because they will not take the mark of the beast. Because to take the mark of the beast is to die. Is to die. So there will be millions of people who understand and will not. So they will be living, you know, hiding, living like that. So that's the question about, that's the statement there about they really hungered and they thirst and they were in the scorching heat. Hiding, okay, so there, that's over. There will be no more. So the protection is there, the provision is there forever. And in verse 17 says, the lamb will become the shepherd. It's a very strange, I don't think there's anywhere in the Bible where such a construction is used. For the lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. So I say, that's what I said, when you think about heaven, yesterday I was watching a small clip, I think this morning or last night, a clip of this. They say how we see an archangel or an angel, but if you read the book of Ezekiel, it looks completely different. So we cannot even figure out, like, again I said, the lamb at the center of the throne. How can the lamb be at the center of the throne? Okay, so it's a different dimension altogether, completely different dimension. And the Bible says the lamb is at the center of the throne and he will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. The emphasis is on the word living. The redeemed will partake continuously on an ongoing basis the eternal life that God offers. See, we can only look at it theologically. We still haven't understood what it will be like, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You cannot escape grief on earth. Post fall, the first grief is what you see, the grief of the breakdown of marriage. The breakdown of marriage, which people have gone through for 6,000 years, nobody has experienced a grief like Adam and Eve, because they had what we call a perfect marriage. No perfect marriage. You know, when people are fighting all the time and then they get divorced, the pain isn't so much. But if you had a wonderful marriage and a wonderful home and the home splits off, no, the grief is different. Adam and Eve had the most perfect marriage relationship. Perfect. I mean, the description of their married life is they were naked and not ashamed. Okay, that's the kind of life they had. So pain, grief starts from there. The breakdown of the marriage first. Then the next chapter, they understood what death is. First, they had only experienced death from God. Then they experienced death in their marriage. Then they experienced death in the family. I don't know what their feelings was like when they had to hold the dead body of their son, whose head probably was smashed in by his brothers. Okay, so this sorrow, grief has been coming, sorrow, piled upon sorrow, and that height of it will be the tribulation period. Because you will see people after people, person after person, your loved ones dying for their faith. It is piled up. But here, God says, no more sorrow. God will wipe away every tear from heaven. He will wipe away. In Revelation 21:4, the same thing is mentioned. This is before the 1,000 years, this is after the 1,000 years. When actual eternity begins and when there is no time anymore, God will wipe away every tear from their eye. Now what we need to understand is, what does it actually mean? I do not know. But I personally feel, He will erase memories. He will erase memories. Okay. And I do think, with my little puny human mind trying to figure out God's mind, that He has to do that if your loved ones are going to hell. It's not an easy memory to hold in eternity. So I guess He will erase it. Even though you understand the justice and the righteousness and the love of God, all that doesn't take sorrow away. Doesn't take sorrow away. So I think that He will do something. I think that's what it means. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Sorrow won't be there. And what He does to erase, I do not know. I know with modern technology you can erase stuff that is recorded in the same way. I believe God will erase. So the message is simple. The message is, come to Christ. There is no other refuge. And to come to Christ, no works are needed. Just repent and believe in Him. Then trust Him on a daily basis. And for all that we go through on earth, for His name's sake, the Bible says eternal rewards are promised. So the Bible says in 7:10, therefore celebrate, sing with the saints, that salvation belongs to our God. Sing with the saints, salvation belongs to our God. Sing with the angels, verse 12. All the angels stood and they were also singing, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving, honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And finally, commit yourself to be a witness, to bring others to the place of safety. That's what you have to understand. Before the wrath of God is unleashed. Therefore, pray. So, in these three chapters, which we saw from chapter 4 onwards to 7, what we see, one chapter of course talks about the seals. What we see is heaven, is worship. The center focus of what the created beings, the four living creatures, 24 elders, all the angels and all the saved multitudes, one common feature we see is worship. Is worship. Which we know from the old English word is meaning worthy of the relationship. But often we get it wrong. Okay. This is where we have to be very, very careful, because in English we say there is the means and then there is the end. Or better, there is the source and there is a resource. There is source and there is a resource. Please understand, God alone is the source. Everything else is resource. Everything else is resource. Anything else we worship becomes idolatry. One thing when we read the book of Revelation, when we have a picture of heaven, is that they only worship God. They only worship God and Jesus, of course. They only worship God and the Lamb. If we worship the resource, it becomes idolatry. If you go to 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 15. This is the indictment of Saul. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. He says, what is the bleating of the sheep that I hear? They have brought them from Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly, utterly destroyed. We need to understand that we can worship. Okay. We can worship. God is not interested in our song. Okay. The song is just a resource. The source is God. He is the source. Even the congregation is the source. In worship teams, basically what happens is that after some time they start worshiping and not God. Worshiping. That's when worship team starts fighting over songs and lyrics and hymns and choruses and all that, because now worship has become, it's so subtle. Idolatry is so subtle that if we are not careful, we will start worshiping the resource and not the source. Anything. All these are great things, but the problem is we do not realize that worship can become idolatry, prayer can become idolatry, church can become idolatry, fasting can become idolatry. Because remember what the Pharisee said, okay, and everything he said is true, but the problem is it's idolatry. You're not worshiping the source, you're worshiping the resource. And the source and the resource are not the same. Okay. You can worship the word of God apart from the spirit of God. And now the word of God becomes idolatry. Okay. Because the source of the word is God. Okay. Why do people fight over doctrines? Because the idol has become the word, not God. Become God. See, the word of God apart from the spirit of God is not living. It's not living. And when the spirit of God is there, you will always say that he brings unity. He brings truth. He brings faith. But we need to realize the word of God apart from the spirit of God is only a resource. We are not talking about Jesus. We are talking about this. This is a resource. But the source of this is God. Source of God. Because that's what happened when Jesus came down on the earth. Everyone who walked around knew their Torah by heart. Okay. Now, they are worshipping the resource. And Jesus said, you are. Because you don't know the source. You are wrong because you do not know the source and you do not know the power of God. And Jesus said, I have come from the Father to reveal him. Both the groups were handling the same word. Jesus did not have a separate book or a separate verse also. That's the difference. He and the Pharisees were all handling exactly the same book. Only thing is that he worshipped God. They worshipped God. Okay, so we have to be very careful about it is because God detests idolatry. Because when you have an idol, what you do is that you make the resource into the source. That is basically. Okay. Like when you're going through a problem, you'll say, it's okay, I'll do a 7-day fast and come through. Now your fasting has become an idol. You go through 7 days, nothing happens. Okay, I'll pray a little longer. I'll go to a little longer. Okay. You are not going to the source, you're going to the resource. Okay. If you're fasting to hear from God, the source, then it is right. If you're spending time in prayer to hear from God, it is right. If you're going to church to worship Him, it is right. If you're going to church to hear from Him, it is right. Otherwise, church becomes an idol. It becomes an idol. So idolatry in the Christendom is much more subtle and more dangerous. More dangerous. Because we are doing the right things, we start thinking that we are right. We are right. We think we are right. But that's not how it works. That's not how it works. The only way you will be right is if God says you are right. Okay, that's why the first time when somebody is declared in the Bible is righteous is Abraham in Genesis 15 verse 6. And the only thing written there is that Abraham believed God and God called him righteous. Okay, because he went straight to the source and believed what the source said and God said you are righteous. So be very, very careful because no, we have these two things. That is our whole issue is that how the enemy will sidetrack us when we are in the kingdom of God. I'm not talking to people who are outside, who are in the kingdom of God. Always get this difference between these two. Who is the, because that's why I said, when you read these chapters from chapter 4 to chapter 7, when you look into heaven, you will realize, okay, songs, all these things are only resources. Only God is being worshipped. God is being worshipped. And there is no ego there. You have a whole set of puny people who came through tribulation and they come and they sing a song and the angelic and the 24 elders and the four living creatures say amen to their song. To their song. Because they are looking at what they are using. They are using all the resources to worship God. That is the end of man. The end of everything is because there is only one creator and everything else is creation. And the subtle way the enemy deceives us is that we start worshipping the resource. Okay. And the resource, like on a regular Sunday morning, the resource is first is worship. We start worshipping worship. That's what Saul did. He said, we killed everything, but we have kept the best to sacrifice. But God said, I didn't tell you that. Did I tell you that? What did the source tell you? Finish everything. But he said, we kept some to worship the source. He said, now you're worshiping the resource. Worshiping the resource. Okay. And then we have prayer. The prayer is important. Today also we have prayer. But we start worshiping prayer. Worshipping prayer. Okay, we start worshipping prayer where the resource has become the source. And that is what happened to the Word of Faith movement, honestly. What happened? It is not that what they are teaching are wrong. Most of the things they teach is right. Some of the things are, of course, blatantly foolish. But the issue is that the foolish things came in because they took the source off and made the resource into God. So basically, they lifted faith in God to faith. So faith. Faith has become the resource. Faith is a gift given by God, but now they are worshipping faith. They are worshipping faith. So we have to be very, very careful. God is the source. The church is only the resource. God is the source. Prayer is only the resource. And if we are not careful, careful, we will end up worshipping the resources. But what we see is authentic worship in heaven. And we'll just go through it and then we will pray. Revelation chapter 4. 8. Four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, Lord Almighty, who was and is to come." Okay, it begins with these four and then the 24, but you will see that. They do not rest day and night. So we need to ask, how is that possible? And the reason is, one, there's no time there. So we are being given a picture because we are caught in time. Two, there is no tiredness there. There is no tiredness there. And also, worship doesn't interrupt the work they have to do. That is the whole thing. Because for us, worship is work. Worship is work. We haven't learned how to worship while working. That's our issue. We haven't learned to worship while we are working. Because we have to work at our worship. And the greatest work is done by the worship leader, trying to get people to move around, lift their hands and praise the Lord. Nobody will respond. Then he has to say a second time, "No, God is good." Some people are not sure whether he is good or not. All this thing, because worship is work for us. Here, yes, it is work. It's not easy to worship. You have to cut through all your physical realities, everything you're going through, and by faith, worship God. So it is hard work. But there it is not. It's natural. It is natural. There's no flesh. There's no sin. There's no Satan. Everything is clear, and automatically it will work. So it does not interrupt work. But God says, you can start to learn to live like that here. Learn to live like that here. That is why, and one of the ways in which on earth, he says, to give thanks in everything. Give thanks in everything. And one of the things people actually should do is pray without ceasing. The reason is because once you reach heaven, you don't have to pray. You don't have to pray. This is the only threshold. We will thank God, we will praise God, we will worship God, we will serve God, but prayer is not going to be there. So this is one privilege we have been given while in this mortal body, the privilege to pray now, intercede for others. Okay, now if you go to verse 11 there, verse 11. This is actually the others also. "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. By your will they exist and were created." If you come to Revelation 5, 9 onwards, it's all worship there. They sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll." So whenever you have a term called new song, please understand. And that is what actually worshippers should do. Because a new song comes out of a new experience. Okay. So as soon as God parted the Red Sea, they all came through. And then God closed it and they all died. The Bible says Moses sang a new song. But that was not part of their experience. Not part of that. And then Miriam took the tambourine. So you will see people like Moses, Hannah, after she births Samuel, no? There's a new song, because that's not something she had experienced. So you will see Mary's songs. So people should actually, you don't have to worry about the music, but when we encounter new things with God, it should give birth to songs. So now they are going to sing a new song, because in all of eternity, for the first time, the scroll which was always there, somebody has been found worthy to open it. So immediate response is a new song. It's a new song. They sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll." So I would say, thing is, that this is what we did in our young days. Of course, background was literature. So we always wrote poems. Somebody will set it to music. You don't have to worry. Mm-hmm. Don't don't worry about it. Everybody, all the talents may not be given to the same person. But when you go through experiences with God, write it down and tell him, Lord, please give me music. And then he should come. 10 onwards, so go further down. And I've made us kings and priests to our God, we shall reign on the earth. And I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, the elders, the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. See, this is the number of the angels alone. And then we saw the multitude that could not be counted, okay. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, such as in the sea and all that are in them, I heard them saying. So the fact of the matter is we still do not understand creation, because I don't understand what are the things under the earth. What are the things that are in the sea that will see? Is it that there are things which we do not see, or things which we see, our ears will be open, like, you know, we can't hear. If you know the dog whistle, you blow the dog whistle, you don't really hear anything, but the dog picks it up. It's a sound only its ears, because it depends upon the frequency, right? So is it that we are going to see, suddenly our eyes are open, we see different dimensions of life? No, dimensions of life. It's not the same way like we are, where God breathed his spirit into us. We know animals are different, but we suddenly start seeing things differently, and we will see God receiving worship from all his creation. Where he said, if you don't praise me, the rocks will. The rocks will. And verse 14. Yeah, 14 also. Yeah, 5:14. Then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. So we saw in Revelation 7 also the same thing. So please understand, worship is the key, which actually means it's a relationship term. It means to esteem very highly and to place, give it the place of the highest value. And can only be associated to God and Jesus. Okay, that's why we say, God says, seek ye first, put me first. No, it doesn't matter how many times we repeat it. Like last night also we repeated it. Because that's how the book of Genesis begins, in the beginning. Meaning before beginning God. It is an eternal principle. Because of who he is, he can never become second. He cannot become second, because he is always first. He was in the beginning, and he is. Therefore, if his creation puts him second, he will not work in their lives. He will not work in their lives. So the conscious effort for us is how to put him first. And if we put him first, automatically things starts falling into place. The order comes in our life. And if you look at Jesus, you look at his life, you will see practically how he always puts his Father first. And one of the things he will do when he is in the flesh, that he will always ascribe it all. Worship means to ascribe something to somebody else. Praise is to ascribe. If you say somebody, hey, you're looking good today, you're ascribing something. So that's what worship does. And if you look at Jesus, he will always make these statements. I do not do anything other than what I have Father seen. I do not speak other than what my Father has. And somebody comes to him, calls him good, he says, God alone is good. Very conscious. Very, very conscious about the way it is. And in small things or the big things, you will always ask God and always ascribe glory, thanksgiving to God. That is how he showed us how, why things flowed so smoothly in his life, because he put the king first and he functioned in the kingdom. Amen. Now we shall have Peter, and then we shall have prayer.
I sought the Lord And he answered me and delivered me from every fear. Those who look on him are radiant. They'll never be ashamed. They'll never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard me and saved me from my enemies. The Son of God surround his saints. He'll deliver them. He'll deliver them. Magnify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name together. Glorify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name forever. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, blessed is he who hides in him. Oh, fear the Lord. Oh, oh, you saints. He'll give you everything. He'll give you everything. Magnify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name together. Glorify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name forever. Magnify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name together. Glorify the Lord with me. Exalt his name forever. Let us bless the Lord every day and night. Never end in praise. May our incense rise. Let us bless the Lord every day and night. Never end in praise. May our incense rise. Let us bless the Lord every day and night. Never end in praise. May our incense rise. Let us bless the Lord every day and night. Never end in praise. May our incense rise. Magnify the Lord with me. Come and exalt his name together. Glorify the Lord with me. Come and exalt his name forever. Magnify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name together. Glorify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name forever. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He'll give you everything. He'll give you everything.
Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord. We just want to thank you for who you are, oh Lord. You are the source of everything.
Yes,
the source of our life.
Yes, you are.
We look to you, Father, this morning.
Yes, we
commit everyone, Lord, into thy hands.
Yes, Lord.
Breathe upon them, Lord. Breathe upon Brother Lin, Lord.
Yes.
Breathe him as he's in the ICU. Breathe
yes.
upon him, Father. You are life. You are the length of our days.
Yes,
now on earth. And you are our eternal life. Forever. Breathe, Father. Breathe, Lord. Breathe on Lin. Breathe on Sister Penny. Breathe on Uncle Marshall. Breathe upon Ace, oh Lord. Breathe upon him. All the fightings and the wars in him, let it be still, Lord, as you breathe upon him. Let him know, Lord, you are in control of every nation. You are in control of everything, Lord. You are in control of every life. You are, Lord. Touch, Father, touch. Touch, Lord, touch. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, we will raise up the standard. The blood of Jesus. The blood. The name of Jesus. Lift you up, Lord. We lift you up, Jesus. We lift you up. Your people
Lord,
in our
Jesus.
Church here,
you,
everywhere,
Lord.
touch them, Lord. Let there be a quickening in each one of them, Lord. Wherever they are, oh Lord, touch them that they praise
thank you,
they worship you, that we will learn to worship as we work, and work as we worship, because you deserve unceasing praise and thanksgiving, oh Lord.
Thank you.
Teach us, Lord. Teach us even now to live in eternity, Father. Because the prayer is to bring your heaven down and not to go up. Oh Jesus, every time we looked into heaven, all we could see was everyone worshiping you, praising you, thanking you, Lord. Help us, Lord. Not to be bogged down by our own misery. It's the worship of self, Lord. People do not know when they are worried and anxious and angry and bitter. It's a worship of self, because man cannot help
Jesus.
But worship, Lord.
Oh, Father.
That's why you told us to worship you and you alone.
Yes.
Because you
yes.
are the source of everything, Lord. Jesus. Help us this morning. Help us this morning.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Again, we thank you, Father. We just thank you. Thank you for bringing us through each day, Lord. We just want to thank you. Once again, I speak your peace and your rest into every soul.
Yes, Lord.
Because you said you will, this life in this world, you will have tribulation. But you said, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. That's why we can be at rest, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
The world that we see now
has
been overcome by you.
Yes,
and it will pass away. But your word says, he who does the will of God abideth forever,
ever.
Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Therefore,
you,
once again in your house, we lift up holy hands. We bless your holy name.
We bless your holy name.
And we declare, O Lord, thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory.
Forever and ever.
Amen.